The scripture for today is going to be Mark 10, 17 through 31, also known as the rich young ruler. And initially, I was going to talk about the burdens of wealth, whether that's having too much or not enough, and we'll get into a little bit of that, but I felt like that was putting the focus on the wrong thing. We will look at the heart that follows. So Mark 10, verses 17 through 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the command. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "The one thing you lack," he said, "go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So let's pray quick. Dear Lord, Father God, we just thank you for your words of the Bible, Lord. And even though sometimes they aren't clear, Lord, we just thank you for insight into those through your Spirit that we can learn, apply, and live out those things in our lives. I just pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see today, and that we would take these words and apply them to our own lives and our own hearts and our own situations, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Mark 10, 17. So let's picture this moment. So Jesus is packing up. He just got done calling the children closer to him and telling everybody you must have faith like children. And so a man comes running up to Jesus. He's just getting ready to leave. And he kneels down and asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And this is not a casual question. It's pretty serious. And we believe that the man is sincere. He's a moral man. He's successful. But there's something missing in his life. And maybe that's why he's asking the question. And maybe that's where some of us are today. We just feel like there's something missing, and we're not sure what that is. We've been doing the right things. We've been coming to church. We stop swearing. We do all these things that we think are right. We've been faithful, and we've been trying. But deep down, we're still asking, "Lord, what's missing in me?" And sometimes it's not always a visible thing of what we're missing. It's not always You know, it can be spiritual. And our spirit is a part of us that responds to God's voice, carries conviction when someone talks about something and we feel like, oh, you know, that's me and I know I have that problem. And it's also the part that chooses to surrender to God's will, instead of just keep pursuing the things that we in our minds have a thing that we want to pursue in our lives. It's our posture before the Lord and being sensitive to God's leading. Our spirit listens and discerns and responds to God. So in the scripture, Jesus doesn't push the man away. He's not like, oh, you fool, you should know this by now. You know. He doesn't do that. He says, he doesn't shame the man. The scripture says Jesus looked at him and loved him. He didn't look down on him because he didn't have the answer. He didn't have all the answers. And that's the heart of Jesus. He sees us. He knows us. He knows where we're at and what we're thinking. And he loves us even when our hearts are divided, even when we're not doing all the things that we know we should be doing. So Mark 21, if we look at that. It says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Then he said, one thing you lack. He said, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. So before Jesus corrects, he loves. He loves on this man. He looked at him and loved him. Before he challenges, he embraces the man into a relationship. And that's important for us to hear, because sometimes when the Spirit convicts us, when the Spirit convicts me, you know, I feel whether God's angry at me or trying to induce guilt or shame, but conviction is not rejection. It's God's love for us. He loves us enough to nudge us in the right direction and to do the right thing. And to pull out of darkness what we're hiding in the darkness and bring it to the light and say, hey, I love you enough that you might need to work on this. You might need to look at this. So Jesus loved this man enough to tell him the truth. And he says, one thing you lack. And I believe the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing to us today. Not to condemn us, not to make us feel bad, but to free us from these chains that are holding us back. You know, Jesus said, one thing you lack, one thing you still hold on to, the one thing that's weighing down our spirit, those are the things that we need to look at. And those are the things that the Holy Spirit will bring to light and conviction. So verses 22 through 25 says that this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Right? And none of them wanted to answer because nobody wants to give the wrong answer, right? Especially to Jesus. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So the man went away sad because his heart was tied to his possessions, like all these things he owned. And that's why I didn't want to do this about just about the burden of riches. It's because it's not about money. To an extent it is, but I think it's symbolic of basically being riches that represent anything we cling to, anything we don't want to let go, anything we're pursuing with all of our heart more than we're pursuing God. whether that's control, pride, fear, comfort, unforgiveness, hidden sin, even good things that take God's place and preoccupy us, potentially derailing us and leaving little time for what God wants to work in our lives. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And I just picture walking through either an attic or a basement with these giant cobwebs, you know, and we've all walked through cobwebs before. It's like, ugh, you know, but that's what it feels like to me, you know, coming out of a life that I was living. Like, man, it's just like you're just ripping these webs off of you that you've been stuck in for years, and all these chains and balls that you're casting behind you. And coming through that, out of, you know, the sin that so easily entangles, we get freedom. There's freedom in that. Our hearts cannot fully follow Jesus while it's entangled, when we have all these things that we're stuck in, all these things that are burdening us and holding us back from being conquerors that God calls us to be leaders. What are we holding on to that's holding us back? What are you holding on to that's holding you back? Now, some of us, we aren't weighed down by riches. We're weighed down by maybe not having enough. And that can also, scarcity also brings its own burden. It brings anxiety, fear, shame, maybe even health issues. Proverbs 15:16 says, "It's better little with fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil." And sometimes I talk with a couple other people, and you know, the thing is, you know, the more they have, the more stuff you need to take care of, you know, and the more headaches you have. And it's like, I give the example, because sometimes I complain to my wife, Julie. I'm like, I go into the basement and I see all my tools down there, and I'm just like, I just want to, you know, I'm tripping over stuff, and I'm just like, I just want to like get a dumpster, back it up to the door and throw it all in there and get rid of it. And then I won't have to trip over it anymore. Then it's not in my way. And sometimes that's what we need to do with these things that are burdening our spirits. Jesus says in Matthew 6, "Do not worry about your life, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, whether in plenty or in want." The spirit is called, our spirit is called to trust our heavenly Father. Your worth is not measured by what you have. It's measured by our Creator, God. So Jesus says, "Go sell everything, then come follow me." This is not about loss. It's not about, and that's what I said. I feel like this is a symbolic picture of backing the dumpster up to my basement and throwing everything in it. Like, all that burden is gone. Is that a responsible thing to do for my business? No. Throw out all my tools. But it's not about loss. It's not about the loss of all these things. It's about the freedom that comes when we shed those burdens. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." The surrendered heart is a free heart. When we surrender to God, he's the one who sets us free from the burdens of our past, the burdens of our present, and any worries we have about the future. Only he can do that. Our spirit finds life in not holding tightly what we have, but letting go. So let's ask ourselves, what's the one thing we're afraid to release? What's the one thing we're afraid to talk about? What's weighing us down on our journey with Jesus? What's holding us back? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom." The disciples were even more amazed, and he said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" So 27 says, "Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it is impossible.'" If we're trying to do it on our own, it's impossible. There's different definitions. As a former alcoholic, I would say, I tried to quit so many times. I'm like, I'll only drink on the weekends. I'll only drink Mondays. But then I drank Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and every day. So, you know, I tried all these things on my own to be happy. And it never worked until I went to jail. I don't know, the fourth or fifth time. I'm a slow learner. God knows that. He has to hit me in the head with a 2x4 to get me to see things sometimes. And I don't appreciate it at the time, getting hit with a 2x4, but sometimes that's the only way I see the truth. A man gave his testimony, and it sounded a lot like my story. You know, just living every way that I shouldn't be. And I surrendered my life to Christ, and it's kind of it's a weird story ever since that in my mind. I never thought I would be here teaching a message from the Bible. So here we are. But all that to say, we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus' Spirit to lead us in the right direction and to convict us of the things that we need to change. And again, that's through His love, not His oppression. So with man it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And that's the hope for all of us. We can't change our own hearts, but the Spirit of God can. What feels impossible, freedom from things, from greed, from fear, from worry, anger, unbelief, hidden sins, it's all possible with Jesus Christ in our lives and leading our spirits. So in Mark 10, 28 through 30, Peter says, "We've left everything to follow you." And Jesus promised, "No one who has left home or family or fields for me will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and eternal life in the age to come." And I noticed in there, and I'll only talk briefly about this. It's up for debate. But in there it says, with them persecutions. So some people like to hear the promises of, if you give all these things away and you abandon these things, you're going to get 100 times more. Well, that sounds great until you read that part where it says, with persecutions. I'm like, why is that there? That is not supposed to be there. But I think what Jesus is trying to say there is that we will find so much more fulfillment through following Jesus and what He asked us to do rather than chasing after all these possessions and all the headaches that they bring with them. So God honors surrender. When we give our hearts to Him, He honors that. He multiplies what we release. And Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The spirit that surrenders is a spirit that overflows with peace. So we have a closing challenge, because we can hear all this and never put anything into practice. And what good is that? So we want to ask ourselves, what are we holding on to in our hearts? What burden is weighing down our spirits? Chances are you're thinking of this now. And I just ask that you would hold on to that. Jesus is calling us not to shame us, but to free us. Not to take from us, but to give us life. We're not defined by what we own. We're defined by who we follow and whether we follow Jesus Christ and what He teaches. So if we're ready to drop the burden and take Jesus' hand, this is our moment. Please don't walk away today feeling sad, guilty, frustrated, and angry with your head down. Hold your head up. God created us to be conquerors, to be overcomers. He loves us and wants us to be free of all these burdens. Walk forward in freedom that He promises. So up here in the third box, it says, name it and release it. And that process basically says that this week, whether we want to do it now Because I know later, sometimes when I'm like, I'll do it later, that never happens. It's a good thought. So if you want to write it down now, what's on your mind, take time to name the one thing that's weighing down your spirit. Write it down. Pray over it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you release it. Whether it's fear, control, comfort, something hidden, something we hide from other people, and bring it into the light. As followers of Christ, we're called to walk in the light, not in the darkness. We're not supposed to be hiding things there. And then, most importantly, we need to tell someone we trust. Because if we never tell anyone, it's still a secret. Don't carry it alone. Let this be your week to walk lighter without that burden. I've seen a lot of things come together. I was talking a little bit to Gerald about it this week. It's just a lot of things coming together in conversations with people and studies, with the men's study. And just, I don't know how to explain it. It's one of the mysteries of God. But just everything kind of intertwining, even some things Gerald hit on this morning about being reborn, like born again. I was just thinking some of those things this morning. I'm going to go out on a out on a step of faith here. I don't know if this was made for me to share. But years ago, it was probably around 2013-ish. I was coming to church here. I think I was here about 2 years maybe. Bev Kreider had asked me to become, at the time, facility coordinator. And Dwayne was in that role at the time, and he was kind of looking for a break, I think. And he's back in that role, so he must have missed it. But anyway, so she had asked me, would I be willing to be facility coordinator, because I had some, you know, handyman skills or whatever you want to call it. And my answer was, well, I will prayerfully consider it. You know, that's the typical, it's a good answer, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. Let me pray about it. I'm going to consider it. So, whether it was a dream or just a word from the Lord, I think, really didn't make any sense. And it probably won't make any sense now. Maybe it will. I don't know. But the answer was, what about the unsaved chapel? And I don't know what that means. But it, to me, I heard Gerald talk about being born again. And whether that was, you know, at the time, I think we were needing roof replacement and a couple other things. And it was like, well, you know, if we don't get the roof replaced, it'll damage the inside and then we'll have bigger problems. So, but I think that was more on a spiritual level of what about the unsaved chapel. And so in my mind, I decided to take that challenge of being facility coordinator, because I wasn't sure what that actually meant. And maybe that meant like helping to put a new roof on or helping to just upkeep the building and give the building new life. I didn't know. When I heard this morning, and I was just thinking about that this morning before I came to church, and then I heard Gerald talking about, you know, Nicodemus and the questions of being born again and what does that mean, and it just kind of fit with the sermon that I was putting together of hearts that follow and spirits are letting go of things that hold our spirits back from following Christ and doing the things that we're convicted of, doing the hard work to tear those things out at the root, spray them with Roundup. I know some people are opposed to Roundup, but spray them with Roundup so that they never come back. And walk forward in freedom of love with, and being like little children, you know, with the wings and the rockets, believing they can do anything, and not having the cynicism and the doubts and all the other things that come along with adulting. I wrote a prayer. It's written down, so I wouldn't forget it, because I go in 40 different directions if I freestyle. So let's close with a closing prayer, and I believe Renee has a closing song. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for the words of the Bible that lead us and guide us and bring us closer to you. Thank you for your love that sees us, your truth that frees us, and your spirit that convicts us not to condemn, but calls us deeper into relationship with you. Lord, for every burden we're carrying, for every one thing we've been afraid to release, Lord, we lay it down at your feet. Holy Spirit, would you please move in this room, Lord? Stir our hearts. Break these chains that hold us back. And speak clearly to us, Lord. Let your presence fall like rain on dry ground. Let it be refreshing to us. Let the weary find rest. Let the anxious find peace. Let the proud find humility. Let the broken find healing. Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to do it not half-heartedly, not halfway, not with divided hearts, Lord, but fully, freely, and joyfully. Jesus, please increase our faith and work in us. We declare, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we trust you, we surrender to you, and we walk forward in freedom that you provide. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. And I would just encourage us all to take this action step to list one thing that's weighing us down. Pray over it, ask God's Spirit, and share it and talk it out with someone.